Good afternoon, everybody. So we're going to talk this morning about Nashim in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, women's obligation in the mitzvah of Haggadah Shel Pesach on Leil HaSeder, as well as a general introduction to women's obligation in many other mitzvahs HaTorah. So the sugi really begins in Kiddushin Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, a very famous Mishnah, where the Mishnah tells us, Kala mitzvahs asei shehazman grama, anytime you have a time-bound mitzvah, something we're all familiar with, Anashim chayavin v'nashim peturus. Anytime you have a time-bound mitzvah, a man is obligated and a woman is exempt. Now, we all know this principle, but practically, how many mitzvahs are there that a woman is really going to be exempt from? You would think, my father always quotes that the Rambam says, when you count up the list, and you'll say, well, how many are there that are mitzvah seisha azman grama, and how many are there that are shalo azman grama? So as it turns out, when all is said and done, there aren't that many mitzvahs that women are pater from. There aren't that many. For example, you have tzitzis. We know tzitzis is only noig by yom, not by laila, so therefore it's considered a mitzvah saseh shahazman grama, nashim peturas. Why is that? Because it says, reisem oso uzachartem as mitzvah sashem. So it's only at a time when you can see it, which is by yom. Then you have the mitzvah of tefillin, as the pasuk says, v'shamarta as achuka hazos miyamim yamima, which means also only by yom, not by laila. We have kriyashma every day, by yom uvalaila, that's mitzvah saseh shahazman grama, nashim peturas. Believe it or not, Tekiyah Shofar on Rosh Hashanah is a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, even though nowadays the women have taken it upon themselves and they all try their best to get the shul, but bottom line, they are not obligated to do so. Yeshiva besukkah, they're not obligated to sit in the sukkah, that's also zman grama. Netilas lulav, we try our best, but they're not obligated. Sfiras haomer and bris milah. So these are basically the mitzvahs that we assume that they are not obligated to do. There are a couple of more, but when all is said and done, there aren't that many that women are exempt from. There is a very fascinating Rashi, both in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Gimel, as well as in Ervin Sadivav Amud Aleph, where Rashi says, a woman who is ptura from any given mitzvah because it's a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, and she chooses to go ahead and perform that mitzvah, as all of our women that we know do, generally they all go hear the shofar, they all go and shake lulav, they all try to sit in sukkah if it's possible, says Rashi, you violate the isur de'araisa of Baal Tosef. Which is fascinating, because generally, if I would think about Baal Tosef, you would say, it's only a case where you take an extra min in the lulav. It's only a case where you have an extra bias in the tefillin, you put another parsha in, or something of that nature. But Rashi seems to extend this idea of Baal Tosef, and he says, any woman who goes ahead and performs a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama that she's not obligated to do, we would assume that that is considered a violation midaraisa of Baal Tosef, which is very, very striking. And obviously, Tosef and all the other Rishonim disagree, and we have accepted their opinion that a woman obviously has every right to volunteer to perform any mitzvah, even if it is a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama. All the Mishnah means to say in Kiddushin Daf Chav Tes is that they are not obligated, but obviously if they would like to, they have every right to. There is a further discussion in the Rishonim, Tosis and other Rishonim have, about whether or not they're allowed to recite a bracha. This is a machlokas Sfardim and Ashkenazim, machlokas the Mechaber and the Ramah, it's a machlokas HaRishonim, the Tosis and the Rambam. What would be the halacha, a woman who does choose, meaning on the assumption that a woman is allowed to perform those mitzvahs that she is exempt from, which we all assume. So now that she does that, could she go ahead and make a bracha, or do we say that maybe that would be a bracha lebatala? So that's a further machlokes. The minig of Ashkenazim follows the Ramah and the Bali Atosas that a woman is allowed to not only perform the mitzvah, but also to recite a bracha. However, the Sfardim follow the Shitas HaShulchan Aruch and the Shitas HaRambam, that a woman would not be allowed to recite a bracha when she is performing a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, which for the Sfardim is a very relevant and important halacha. Now, there are, yeah?
What does Rashi do with Isa the Enu Mitzvah? Enu
Mitzvah V'Yosa? So what does he do with that? I'm not sure. What does he do with that? Enu Mitzvah V'Yosa, isn't that a concept over here? So maybe that just means, I don't know.
Okay.
The real answer is I don't know, but it could be that's only talking about a case where you're pater machmas onus, meaning you're not feeling well, you're something of that nature, and you choose to do it anyway, maybe you get extra, you know, maybe that's, you get extra points even though you're not mechuyev. Doesn't sound like a good answer. I like your question better. But I think Tosis has a lot of questions. I didn't look it up right now, but I think Tosis has a lot of questions on Rashi. How can such a thing be? It doesn't fit in with everything that we believe in. Now, there are various mitzvah saseh shehazman grama throughout the year that we know Nashim are obligated to do, even though they are clearly time-bound. For example, the Gemara says in Psachim Daf Mem Gimel, that Achilas Matzah al Leil HaSeder, a woman is obligated to perform. Why? Because Hukash Achilas Matzah li'isir Achilas Chametz. We say, Shivas Yachim Tochol Alav Matzahs lo'socho Alav Chametz. From the fact that the Isir Achilas Chametz is put together with the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, therefore, we assume kol sheyeshno bazeh, yeshno bazeh. Whoever is included in the obligation included in the prohibition of not eating chametz is included as well in the obligation of eating matzah, and therefore we assume nashim chayavos in the mitzvah of achilas matzah on Leil HaSeder. That's the Gemara Masechet Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Now there are other halachas that come from that hekesh. Let's say, take for example, I mentioned it in one of the shiurim last week. Take for example the mitzvah of achilas matzah on Leil HaSeder. So the Vilna Gaon points out that we have an obligation by Erev Tochel Matzah. So you only have an obligation, biblically, to eat matzah on the Leil HaSeder. The rest of Pesach, if you want to go without eating matzah, without washing, you can do so. You find potatoes to eat, you find other things that aren't kidneyous, it's no problem. However, the Vilna Gaon says, from the fact that the Torah tells me, Shivas Yom Tochel Alav Matzos, means there must be something here, and from the fact that that's put together with the din of so what could be the connection there? So the Vilna Gaon comes up with a new category, which he calls a mitzvah harishus, which is really a contradiction in terms. A mitzvah means you're obligated. A rishus means it's optional. So how can you have a mitzvah harishus? It really doesn't make any sense. But the Vilna Gaon coins this new term, and he says we have a new category, which the Netziv and other Achronim talk about in other contexts, but we have a category called mitzvah harishus, which is you have a mitzvah that you're not obligated to do, but if you do it, you get points. So what exactly does that mean is a good question, but the Vilna Gaon assumes that this would be one of those examples. From the fact that we have a pasuk that says you're not allowed to eat matzah all the 7 days, and the Torah also says, you're not allowed to eat chametz all the 7 days, and the Torah also says you should go ahead and eat matzah, Leil HaSeder, says the Vilna Gaon, it must be there's some connection, and the connection is that if you go the rest of Pesach and eat matzah, you get more of a fulfillment of the mitzvah of achilas matzah. It's what we call a mitzvah harishus. And therefore, the Vilna Gaon's practice was that even though generally on Yom Tov we don't eat shalosh shudas, it's only on Shabbos, the Vilna Gaon on the last day of Pesach used to go ahead and go out of his way to eat a shalosh shudas before the end of Yom Tov. Why is that? Because he said, let's chap arayin, let's get the last opportunity we have to eat matzah, to get the mitzvah harishus that I made up, that I created. So the Vilna Gaon says we should eat shalosh shudas at the end of Pesach to get the last opportunity we have of the mitzvah achilas matzah. So this is one of those examples of a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama that the Gemara tells us in Pesachim, women are certainly obligated to fulfill. We have another mitzvah, the Gemara says in Pesachim daf kuftes, the mitzvah of simchas hachag, simchas haregel. Everyone has an obligation to enjoy v'samachta b'chagecha, even though that is only shalosh pam b'shana, even though it's only Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. There's a big discussion in the Achronim about Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. Does it also make sense we should have a chi of simcha? How can there be a chi of simcha when you have the din? Anyway, but basically the Gemara says that strictly on the three shalosh regalim, we assume that there is an obligation of simchas hachag, as we are told in Pesachim daf kuftes amad aleph. The Gemara tells us in Brachas daf chav, that we have a halacha that women are chayiv in kiddush midaraisa. Why they chayiv in kiddush midaraisa? And it's something not everyone's careful about. The reason why, says the Gemara, is called sheyeshna b'shamar, yeshna b'zachar. Whoever is obligated in the negative commandments of Shabbos is also obligated in the positive commandments of Shabbos. So zachar shamas Shabbos akacho obligates us zachreu al hayayin. You have to make kiddush on wine. So therefore, women would be obligated to do the very same. And then, so we have examples. The Gemara in Sukkot Daf Chav Ches says the mitzvah of Inui on Yom Kippur doesn't only apply to men, it applies to women as well. V'inisim es nafsho sechem, even though that should be something that is man grama, it only happens once a year, but still, we have all of these different cases. Those are the cases midaraisa. Then we have midarabanan, they added on a couple of more cases as well, where women would be obligated to fulfill the mitzvah, even though it is a mitzvah saseh shehaz man grama. For example, the Gemara tells us, the mitzvah midarabanan of Dalet Kosas B'Leil HaSeder, women have an obligation to do that as well. Why is that? Dalet Kosas on Leil HaSeder, Neres Chanukah a woman is obligated to do. So again, you have the Mishnah Berurah says, Ishto Kegufo, so the woman could be Yotze with her husband. The Rav Soloveitchik felt that didn't make any sense. It's preposterous to say Ishto Kegufo by such a thing like this. How can you say that the man is able to be Motzi his wife? If I have an obligation to put on tefillin, can I say someone else can put it on for me because Shomea Ka'one, or it doesn't make sense. You're using a different principle for the wrong halacha. Ishto Kegufo does not have any relevance when you have a mitzvah shebeguf that I have an obligation to fulfill on my own. So that's a discussion whether she has to light her own. Neri Shebeso means one family has an obligation to light on their own, but maybe each member, part of the Mahadran and a Mahadran, is that we should all light our own. So maybe a woman is included in that as well. And the Gemara says, obviously, Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim is something that a woman is obligated to do as well. Why are these cases singled out midrabanan? Why are these so unique? Why are they so special? Why is a woman obligated to have Dalet Kosas Leil HaSeder, to read the Megillah, and also to light the Neres Chanukah? The answer is, says the Gemara, She'af hein hayu ba'osa hanes. Now, Rashi and Tosas and Pesachim disagree. What exactly does that mean? Af hein hayu ba'osa hanes, Rashi says, doesn't just mean they were on the periphery of the story. It doesn't just mean they were on the outskirts of the story. It means they were the entire miracle. As we know in the story of Pesach, Rashi says, "Bischar nashim tzidkaniyos nigulu avisenu mimitzrayim." They were the whole miracle. So now that we have a mitzvah in commemoration of the miracle, now that we have Dalet Kosos to remind us of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, Rashi says, that's why the Gemara says, women are going to be obligated to be a part of that as well, because they were the Ikar Hanes, they were the Yeshua. Similarly, by Mikra Megillah, we're told that everything, the hero of the story, was undoubtedly Esther Hamalka. And since Esther was the hero, therefore we assume, Afein Hayabos Hanes obligates the women to be involved in the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, the same way men are. And by Neris Chanukah as well, we have the famous story that a woman was the one who performed the miracle. Now, Tosas points out, how can you say, Af hein hayabo sanes, means that they were the Iker HaYeshua. Af means they're by the wayside. We're also going to include them in the mitzvah. So Tosas objects Rashi's understanding. He says, how can you say such a thing? Af sounds like the men are obligated and the women are also. If you're going to say the reason why women are obligated is because they were the whole Yeshua, so then you shouldn't say, Afein Ha'ibos Hanes, you should say, the primary focus should be, women should do it. Then afterward, the men should do it as well. So this is a discussion in the Rishonim. Maybe if we speak about Afein Ha'ibos Hanes in the coming days, we'll get more into that. But basically, these are the exceptions to the rule. So what about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Leil HaSeder? We know that they're obligated midaraisa in Achilas Matzah. Why? Because Kol Sheyeshna, we have the Hekish. Anyone who's Bebal Tocha Chametz, Yeshna Bekom Ocha Matzah. So therefore, women are obligated midaraisa to eat the matzah the same way the men are. What about Dalet Kosos? We said Midrabanan, they're obligated because of Afein Hayabos Hanes. Now we come to the discussion about the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. What is a woman's obligation in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Leil HaSeder? So, it always bothered me just by, once we're talking about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, I did see in a Sefer, one of the recent Achronim who writes, that he's not sure are daughters also obligated in the mitzvah of Vigadata Levincha, because it says only your son, which I think is a ridiculous assertion. How can you say such a thing? Vigadata Levincha means we have an obligation to educate our children. It doesn't matter if it's men or women, doesn't matter if it's boys or girls. We have an obligation to educate our children and to make sure that they are going to understand the miracles that took place and they're going to be a part of the experience of Pesach. So that's just with regard to that. But what about a woman's obligation in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Says the Sefer Achinuch, mitzvah Chaf Aleph, explicitly, mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim noheges bizecharim uvenekevos. Why should that be? Even though it's a mitzvah seishas magrama, he understands that for some reason they are included in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim because he doesn't explain. He doesn't say the because, but this is the way he ends off the mitzvah, and he says mitzvah zu noheges bizecharim uvenekevos. And the Minchas Chinuch immediately jumps on him and he says, "How can he say such a thing? Don't we know mitzvah seishas magrama nashim peturas?" Why should this be an exception to the rule? Yes, matzah is an exception to the rule because kol sheyeshna b'shamer, I'm sorry, because kol sheyeshna b'bal tocha chametz, yeshna b'kol malcha matzah. Yes, Dalet Kosos is included in it because we know, afein hayibos hanes. But the Gemara never tells us, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, so where do you get this idea from? Why does the Sefer HaChinuch assume that women are going to be obligated in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? This is the question that he asks. And listen to the words that he says. Davar zeh chidush gadol etzli. I don't know what he's talking about. How do you come off to make such an assumption? Lamatia noheges mitzvah zubinashim. Kim dehavi mitzvah seishas man grama shanashim pturus. So why should we assume that women are obligated? Vilomar and says the Minchas Chinuch, maybe you'll say, the same way we assume that women are obligated in Dalet Kosos because afein hayabos hanes, so they're also obligated in telling the story itself. That's the miracle, to go and relive the story. That should be a part of it. He says, no. Vilomar kivin shayabos hanes lakach nashim chayavos, says the Minchas Chinuch, maybe I'll tell you that women are obligated because afein hayabos hanes. Kvar kasva atosas the Megillah, tidavar ze eino elachi of midirabana. The Sefer HaChinuch is a book of mitzvahs that tells us what is the biblical obligation of every individual in the Jewish people. So how can you tell me that based on a svara midrabanan of afein hayabos hanes, the women are going to be obligated midaraisa? That can't be. Over here we're trying to explain pshat, why does the Chinuch assume that this should be included in the mitzvahs asei midaraisa itself? So if that's our question, it cannot be answered by saying afein hayabos hanes. That's not an answer, that's not an excuse. So therefore he doesn't know what to say. V'chein mashma midivrei Rambam, he writes, the kasav, the mitzvah saseh shahazman grama nashim p'turos. The Rambam lays out the rule, Parakit Beis Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and he says, women are pater from mitzvah saseh shahazman grama, v'yesh mitzvah shachayavos. There are mitzvahs intermittently that they are going to be obligated to do. After having mitzvah saseh shahazman grama, for example, matzah b'leil Pesach, achilos karben Pesach b'leil HaSeder, says the Menchas Chinuch. Yes, the Rambam gives us a list of certain mitzvahs that they are obligated to do, but he doesn't include Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, even though he talks about Achilas Pesach, even though he talks about Achilas Matzah, even though he talks about all different things, but he doesn't say Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore he leaves over the Tzarach Iyun Gadol. He says, I have no idea how to explain Pshat in the Sefer Achinuch. Where does he come off to say such a thing that Nashim Chayavas in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the truth is, the Prima Gadim in the Eishal Avram has the same suffix, and he's not sure. This that we say, Nashim Chayavas, doesn't mean they're obligated Midaraisa, doesn't mean they're obligated Midarabanan. He's not convinced of the whole thing, and he says, well, Midarabanan is easy. You can say, Afin Hayavosane, so they're obligated. But Midaraisa, to say that they're really obligated, hard to say. So what's the difference? Are they obligated Midaraisa, Midarabanan? Who cares? Either way. If they're obligated Midaraisa, so they have to do it. If they're obligated Midaraban, they also have to do it. What's a nafkamina? Suffolk, okay, that would be a possibility. Suffolk Rabban Lakula, Suffolk Raisa Lakhumar, but a more fundamental nafkamina would be what? Whether or not there could be motzi the man. Let's say you have a man who's infirm, who's not able to recite the Haggadah, he can't do the mitzvah of Igadata Levincha, and his wife is sitting right next to him, and she's going to be mekayim the mitzvah on his behalf. Is she able to do so? If she's not on the same level of obligation as he is, well then, we cannot say that she can fulfill his obligation. If she's only obligated mid Rabbanan, so then she's obligated mid Rabbanan. She cannot fulfill his biblical obligation. She can only fulfill a rabbinic obligation. So we would say that in a case like that, perhaps a woman would not be able to be motzi her husband in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is a very important and relevant question, whether they're obligated mid Raisa mid Rabbanan, because every so often you do have situations like that where a man is not able to speak, his wife wants to help him out. And the question is she able to do so or not? This is a question that's raised when it comes to the mitzvah of Kiddush on Shabbos as well. As we said before, there's a mitzvah midaraisa to recite Kiddush on Shabbos, Zacharas Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho. Now, part of the mitzvah is that we should say it al hayayin, details of the mitzvah, but basically the obligation is Zacharas Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho. The Gemara says in Brachos Daf Chaf, as we mentioned, Kol sheyeshna b'shamar, yeshna b'zachar. Whoever is included in the negative commandments of Shabbos is also included in the positive commandments, which includes, says the Gemara, a woman. Since a woman is not allowed to do malacha, lo sasaka malacha goes on everybody, so therefore a woman is also part of the mitzvah of reciting Kiddush. And the Gemara there...
Midaraisa.
Based on Midaraisa. It's based on a din daraisa.
She should be able to be motzi her husband.
Correct. So she should be able to be motzi her husband. The question is, how far does that din of kol sheyeshna b'shamar yeshna b'zachar go? Let's say, machlokas harishonim. Are women obligated in lecha mishnah on Shabbos? What would you say?
I'd say yes.
You'd say yes. Why yes?
Because that's biblical.
Kol sheyeshna b'shamar yeshna b'zachar also. So the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran have a discussion. The Mordechai quotes in the Masechah Shabbos, Parakol Kisvei. Why are women obligated in lecha mishnah on Shabbos? The assumption is that they are obligated, but the question is why? So Rabbeinu Tam says simply, Afin hayu ba'os anes. What's the reason? I'm sorry, the Ran. What's the reason why we have lecha mishnah on Shabbos is to commemorate the fact that we had the miracle of the man in the Midbar. So if the whole thing is a commemoration to the miracle, so the women also were part of that miracle. So Afin Hayu Ba'os Hanes dictates that women also have to make lecha mishnah on Shabbos. However, if you say, other Rishonim say the reason why is because kol sheyeshna b'shamar yeshna b'zachar is a sweeping obligation, that everyone has the obligation of all the mitzvahs of Shabbos, and therefore, since a woman is obligated to keep to the din of the laws of the los asay of Shabbos, so too she has an obligation to keep to the laws of the asay of Shabbos. And this comes to a discussion about the level, the nature of their obligation. Let's say you take, for example, so now we know a woman is obligated midaraisa and kiddush on Shabbos. However, midaraisa, you can be mekayim your mitzvah of kiddush on Shabbos just bidvarim alone. Midrabanan, they said you should enhance it to have wine. The Sefer HaChinuch explains because Jews like to drink wine, Jews like to eat food. So therefore, we assume that Kiddush is al hayayin or Kiddush is on pas, whatever it might be. So a woman has an obligation just like a man does, but biblically the obligation is just zachrei bidvarim. You have to be mekadesh Shabbos with words, not with the wine. So the problem is, Rabbi Kiva Eger discusses on Shulchan Aruch, so what happens Friday night? Husband davens in shul. He was already mekadesh Shabbos biblically by saying his Kiddush. Why? Because he said mekadesh HaShabbos in his Shemona Esrei. A lot of times the women don't have a chance to daven at home, so they're relying on the husband coming home and making Kiddush at the table. However, his obligation is now on a level of midrabanan, because he already recited the biblical obligation in shul in his Shemona Esrei. He comes home and now he only has a rabbinic obligation left because he has to do it al hayayin over a cup of wine.
But his wife brought in Shabbos when she lit candles.
So that's the question. Is that good enough? The Rambam says you have to say Shivcha de Shabbata. So when she says So again, she was Mekadesh Shabbos, she ushered the Shabbos in, but she wasn't Mekadesh, she didn't say anything about the uniqueness of Shabbos. Rabbi Avad Yosef, if I remember correctly, he has a very interesting tshuva where he talks about the minig ha-teimanim, I think he says, that they added in a word to the bracha of the halakas Neir Shabbos, exactly to address your point. Lahadik Neir Shol Shabbos Kodesh. Now, we don't say that. We say Lahadik Neir Shol Shabbos. So Rabbi Avad Yosef said he wasn't understanding why did they come up with this idea to add on to the bracha. Lahadik Neir Shol Shabbos, what was wrong with that? Why do they add Shabbos Kodesh? So you say, okay, Shabbos Kodesh, that's what we call it. So Rabbi Avad says, no, it was on purpose. It was to get out of this problem. That the women should also highlight the uniqueness of Shabbos. So just to say Lahadik Ner Shal Shabbos is not good enough. But to say Lahadik Ner Shal Shabbos Kodesh, now you're showing Shabbos is more Kodesh than every other day of the week. Okay, maybe. So Rabbi Kivega discusses this point, and he says, well, maybe the way to get around it is when the husband comes home from shul, aside from being a nice husband, that he should greet his wife and say good Shabbos, says Rabbi Kivega, there's another reason to do it. Because if you say good Shabbos and she says good Shabbos back, you're highlighting the fact that it's Shabbos and it's something special about today. So this is the idea Rabbi Kivega gives. Other Achronim strongly disagree with him and say, what do you mean? How can you suggest that? That's also not highlighting the uniqueness of Shabbos. Just to say good Shabbos, so you say good morning, you say good Shabbos, the same thing. So why does that help? So that's a very interesting discussion that comes out, but it's basically similar to our discussion over here. If a woman is not obligated midaraisa, perhaps, in the midst of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, well then maybe, she says the Prima Gadim, she would not be able to be motzi her husband in the mitzvah, even though they are mechuyavas midrabanan, but since they're only on a lower level of chiyuv, they cannot fulfill the obligation for somebody who has a higher level of chiyuv. So, what is the reason? How do you explain what the chinuch assumes, that women are going to be obligated midaraisa in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? How do we come to an understanding of this? So the Chai Adam has an explanation, and this is what the Bir Halacha quotes as well, and I think it's a very interesting one. The Gemara says in Maseches Psachim that, Shasa'an bevasachas lo yatsa yedecha vasu. If you drink all the Dalet Kosos in one shot, you do not fulfill your obligation. So what exactly does that mean? Rashi says on the Daf that it means, if you pour four cups all into one cup, that's not considered Dalet Kosos, that's considered one cup. So you're not able to fulfill your obligation. The Rashbam, who is the grandson of Rashi, assumes differently. No, he says, I don't think the Pshat in the Gemara is like my grandfather said, that Shasam Bevasachas Lo Yatzei Dechavas. Of course, that's called one cup. Of course not. How can you even... The Gemara wouldn't have to say such a thing. It's pshita. It's obvious. So says the Rashbam, what the Gemara means to say, shasan bevasachas, means you take cup one, cup two, cup three, cup four, all in a row, without doing the Haggadah in between. There's a reason why each cup is situated at a certain point in the Haggadah, because it's supposed to have some significance, some meaning. So let's say you're in a rush. I'm a Hatzalah member, and I'm afraid I'm going to get a call. So I say, you know what? Let me get the Dalet Kosos out of the way. I'm going to start my meal, have all four cups right away. This way, in case I go on a call, I won't miss everything I'm supposed to do. Says the Gemara, no, that doesn't work. Why? Because shasan bevasachas, without doing intermittently all the Haggadah and explaining the story and getting involved in the whole experience, that cannot be considered your mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. Dalet Kosos is not only to drink the four cups, but it's to drink it in the context of the Leil HaSeder and the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So therefore the Gemara says, if you drink them bevasachas, without having all those intermittent interruptions in between, you cannot fulfill your obligation. Well, says the Chai Adam and the Mishneh Berurah and the Bir Halacha, this is why women are going to be obligated in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because if women are obligated in the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos, because Afin Hayibos Haneis, then they must also be obligated in the mitzvah of Haggadah Shel Pesach and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? Because you're not allowed to drink the four cups by themselves out of context. You have to drink them in a framework. Now, this still leaves us with a question, because at best, they're only going to be chayiv midrabanan. Again, where do we start? The whole chiyuv of nashim is in Dalet Kosos is because afin hayibos haneis midrabanan. And now you're saying, based on that obligation of drinking the Dalet Kosos, they also have an obligation to do Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, because it has to be done in a context. But the whole starting point was only midrabanan. We're coming to try to explain why the Sefer Achinuch considers this to be a mitzvah saseh midaraisa, but this wouldn't help. This still doesn't explain. So this is a very problematic Sefer HaChinuch. It's a very difficult one to explain, and this is why I think the Minchas Chinuch leaves off with the Tzarachi and Gadol. He says, I really cannot understand where he comes off to assume that this should be included in the mitzvah saseh of Leil HaSeder. Yes, women are obligated midaraisa on Achilas Matzah, women are obligated in all sorts of things, but how can you say that midaraisa they're obligated in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? And again, as we mentioned, this would make an extremely relevant nafkamina if you had someone who is not able to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim on their own, a man who's obligated midaraisa and his wife wants to perform it for him. Should we assume that that would be a good performance of the mitzvah, or do we assume that that would not be good enough? So let's just wrap it up. It's already almost 12:30. The Gemara also says over there, any mitzvah that is lo hazman grama, obviously, women are obligated in just as the men are. For example, the mitzvah of tzedakah, the mitzvah of giving chumas and maizuth, the mitzvah of mezuzah, of all these kinds of things, we assume that is an obligation the same way men are obligated. The Gemara does say in Maseches Brachos Daf Chav that women should be exempt from the mitzvah of tefillah every day. Machlok is the Rambam and the Ramban, whether tefillah is deraisa or derabanan. So if you hold that tefillah is deraisa, we should say women should not be included in the mitzvah. Why? Because it's a mitzvah saseisha hazman grama, erev avok erev tzaharayim. That's a very time-bound mitzvah, so women should not be obligated to do so. So the Gemara says, no, women are obligated in the mitzvah of tefillah because tefillah rachameinu. Everybody has the opportunity and the obligation to go and ask rachmanis from God, to ask for his mercy, to ask for life, to ask for all the things we want. So therefore, how can you say, because it's a mitzvah saseh shah zman grama, we're going to get the women out on a technicality? The women also, bai rachami, the women also have to ask rachmanis from God himself that he should help them and he should give them success in life. So how can you say that nashim are going to be pturas from something of that very nature? There is a discussion about how do we categorize this idea of what is considered a mitzvah saseh shah zman grama and what is not, which sounds like a silly question. If it's time-bound, it's zman grama, and if it's not, it's not. So we do have a couple of strange cases where the Achronim and the Rishonim are not really so sure. We'll go through it very quickly. But basically, one question is, let's say Sfiras HaOmer. If I would ask anybody what's the obligation of Sfiras HaOmer, you'll say it's a mitzvah seisha zman grama. It's something that only applies in a certain period of year. And therefore, the Rambam says, mitzvah zu al kol ish mi Yisrael b'chal makom v'chal zman. It's only an obligation for every man. This is the Rambam Menuchas Tmidim Musafim. V'nashim v'avadim p'thurim mi Sfiras HaOmer. Rambam says what I would have said, that women are not obligated in the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer because it's a mitzvah saseisha hazman grama. It doesn't apply at other times in the year, and therefore women would not be obligated. This is why the Chinuch says the same thing in mitzvah Shin Vav, and also the Magen Avram follows that in Tuf Pei Tes, that women are not obligated in Sfiras HaOmer. Now, as we said, women have a right to fulfill an obligation as an Eina Mitzvah V'yosa, and they could even recite a bracha according to the Ashkenazim. However, we assume that this would be something that they are not obligated to do, it's just optional. The Ramban writes in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Daled a very famous comment where he suggests that this is considered something which is Ein Hazman Grama, and women would be obligated to do it. So how do you make any sense out of the Ramban? So my father writes in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav that the Rav said it's a printing mistake. Can't be. Okay, it's an easy way out of anything. Say it's a printing mistake. The Divrei Malkiel said the same thing way earlier than the Rav Soloveitchik. Okay, printing mistake. Last week, somebody showed me something. Rabbi J.J. Schechter showed me something very interesting that we have. There was a major discussion around Yom HaShoah. Should we make a commemoration? Should we not? Should we make a Yom Tainus? Look, we have Tanesim, Tanius all throughout history. So maybe we should make a Yom HaShoah. Also makes a lot of sense. Even if you don't want to show a movie, you don't want to do a lighted candle, but at least we should have a Tainus. We should have a something. Say Slichos. It makes sense. So this was a big discussion in the 50s and the 60s, and then it came up again in the 80s. So in the 50s, the Chazon Ish was vehemently opposed, and they have in the letters of the Chazon Ish, Igros Chazon Ish, that he writes, absolutely not. We're not going to make any sort of commemoration for the Yom HaShoah. We're not going to make anything to commemorate the fact that we had the Holocaust, even though it's such a major cataclysmic event, something we'll never forget. It's probably the greatest tragedy we've ever had in our history. Still, they felt it was inappropriate. So there was a gadol later on in the 1980s. So Rabbi J.J. Schechter showed me that he wrote an article in, I think, Hapardes, which was a Torah journal at the time where everyone gave in their different ideas. So this was Rabbi Spitz, who was the father of Rabbi Shalom Spitz, one of the Rosh Yeshiva and Shara Torah in Queens. So his father writes an article that he argues that it's absolutely necessary and we must make some sort of commemoration because how can we not? Ah, you'll ask, what right do we have to make a commemoration when, you know, we don't just add new calendar dates onto the Jewish calendar, onto the year. So he says, no, what do you mean? The Shachar Netaz added Chaf Sivan. Chaf Sivan was a time of pogroms, it was a time of tragedy in their days. And they added a Tainus onto the calendar. Nowadays we don't keep it anymore, but for many generations it did exist. So you see that we do have a right to institute new things. Aye, then he writes, the Chazon Ish wrote in the 1950s that we're not allowed to add new things. Chazon Ish was the Gadol Hador, what do I do about that? So he writes, it's made up, it's a forgery. Chazon Ish never said it. Ah, it's printed in the Kisveh Chazon Ish. Yeah, well, they didn't find the letter in his house. It looks like the same handwriting. They found it in someone else's house. Maybe it's a forgery. Now, he's wrong because it's not a forgery, because in the Sefer Pe'er Hador, which is the official biography of the Chazon Ish, they write explicitly about the conversation that he had with the Av Beis Din and Kol Miyut about making Yom HaShoah, and he has the same exact story there. It's not just by a letter, it's printed, it's documented, the whole recorded conversation is written over. So this is something that is always an easy way out to say, it's a misprint, it's a mistake, it's a forgery, but it's not always correct. Rav Asher Weiss is very opposed to saying also that, how can you say the Ramban is a forgery? How can you say it's not correct? It's a misprint. It's not a misprint. It's the real thing. So how do we explain why the Ramban says that Sfiras HaOmer should be a mitzvah which is not Zman Grama, and women should be obligated to do it? How can that be? It's only relevant at a certain point in the year. So there are Achronim who explain. Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank has it. Reb Yerucham Fishel Perlau. Many Achronim say, very simply, the mitzvah of counting the Omer is not something that is tali bayom. It's not that in these days, in this calendaric date of the year, you have to count Sfira. Rather, it's the opposite. Sfira Sa'omer comes at the onset of, what spins off Sfira Sa'omer, what gets it rolling? Miyom haviyachem es karban ha'omer. It's the karban that gets us going for the mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer. Now, the karban happens to have to be brought on a certain day. But it's not that our Sfiras HaOmer is Tali on a certain day, it's that the carbon itself is Tali on a day, and that's what spurs the Sfiras HaOmer to go into motion. So therefore, when you have something else, an outside factor, that creates the Chiyuv, yes, it might happen to be that it's in this period of year, but it's not that it's tied to this period of year, it's that the carbon HaOmer happens to be brought at this period of year, and that's what gets us going on the Sfira. So in a case like that, we would assume perhaps that that's not called a Mitzvah Saseh Shaz Magrami. Take, for example, another thing. Let's say Nashim in the Mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. So you say, what do you mean? Haro'as ha'levana b'tkufasa b'chidusha. So you say, Kiddush Levana, but maybe you should say, so there's a big discussion, maybe Nashim Peturis anyway, because Heim Kavu Neira Shalolam, and they were the ones who destroyed the light, so the Shalah says that women shouldn't say Kiddush Levana. If you look in the Gemara Sanhedrin, surprisingly, when the Gemara has the Lashon, the Nusach of Kiddush Levana, what does it say? Nashi didan mai mevarchos. What is the Nusach HaBracha that our wives say when they say Kiddush Levana? So you can say it's a misprint, it's a forgery. But the easier answer to say is, it seems like women would say Kiddush Levana. It's a mitzvah, say Shazman Grama. So how can you say such a thing? The answer is, no. We have an obligation, whenever we see the Levana b'chidusha, we have an obligation to go and say a brach on it. Now it happens to be that's the beginning of every month, but you can't say that's Zman Grama. It's not a mitzvah hatali b'zman, it's a mitzvah that's tali in chidush ha-levana. It happens to be the Levana only is mechadish once a month. But it's a mitzvah that's tali in Chidush HaLevana, not a mitzvah that's tali in any zman. So that sort of is the answer they give for Sfiras HaOmer. It's a mitzvah. It's the answer they give for Havas Bikurim also, and other things, Kiddush Levana. But basically, this is a brief overview of the mitzvahs Aseh Shazman Grama and Shalo Azman Grama that Nashim would be obligated or perhaps not obligated to do. And this is something which is relevant not only to the mitzvah of Dalet Kosas Balel HaSeder, which they're obligated to do because of Afin Haya Ba'osa Anes. It's relevant to the mitzvahs matzah, which are obligated midaraisa. Matzah is probably the only mitzvah achila that we have nowadays, which is daraisa. Right? We don't eat kachim nowadays. We don't eat different things. So matzah perhaps is one of the only obligations and opportunities that we have to fulfill a mitzvah achila midaraisa throughout the calendaric year. So this is something women are obligated as well as men. And then you have Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which yes, they might be obligated to do midarabanan because afin hayibos anes. But the Sefer Achina for some reason suggests that they should be obligated even midaraisa as well because we don't know the because. The Minchas Chinuch is not sure. But this is still open for debate and discussion and suggestions. If we have any ideas, what's up shot in the Sefer HaChinuch?